Shavuot, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Ches, and we begin today the Halak HaPerek. We start Kohen Gadol. Remember, the last thing that we were learning in the previous Perek was how it is that we need to have a Bezdin of Shimon V'Yechod in order to be done a Kohen Gadol. And we brought the Pasuk of Kol HaDover HaGadol that should be brought to Meisha, who was connected to Shimon Ve'echad. So already once we brought up the din of a Kohen Gadol, we now start the next parak with the specific dinim that are Negeah Kohen Gadol and the Melon. That would be Negeah, also a special case of Anasi or Hamelach that we were talking about in the previous parak. Here we're talking about the Melach. So first of all, Kohen Gadol dan v'danimoto. A Kohen Gadol can actually sit on a court and he can be dan, and we can don him. Actually, we're going to see later on, according to the way Tosfos understands it, that this is talking about a Kohen Gadol who is going to be don. The question over here is don yechidi, even. So we'll get to that, though. Right now, we're talking about in general whether he is made as a dayan. And we can don him, and he can be meid, umeidi noto. We actually will testify against him, and he is a kosher witness. Choletz v'chotzin lishto, he can do chalitza, and we can do chalitza if he dies for his wife, and we can be miyabin his wife, but he cannot do yibum. Mipnei shehu asur ba'almana, since it's an iser diraisa for him to marry an almana, because of that, he doesn't do yibum. Now, of course, as the Gemara is going to point out, L'chora, if this is a mitzvah's asay, and the Yisr of an Amona is a mitzvah's lois asay, we should asay as a deicha lois asay. We're going to get to that in the Gemara. Mate lo mate, if someone dies, who is someone that the Kohen Gadol is meant to be mis'abel over, he still is not allowed to be mitame. Because even though a regular Kohen is allowed to be metamei, as we saw in the whole sugya of Nadav Avihu, a Kohen Gadol is also to be yaitzei from the Mikdash. We'll see exactly what that means, but he certainly is not able to be metamei. So what does he do? He's not yotzei achar hamita in the funeral. Ela hein nechsin, vehu nigle, hein niglin, vehu nechse. You know those old movies where the villain is in the street behind. The people go around the corner and the villain suddenly shows up and he looks and then he waits until they go around the next corner and then he comes into the next street. Well, that's basically what it is that the Kohen Gadol looks like over here. He's never on the same block that the funeral procession is. V'yotze imahem, and he continues to do this until he gets to the actual gates of the city, and there he can't go out because at that point there's no separate blocks and he would always be right there in sight of the funeral procession. We're going to see what the whole point of this is. Divrei Rebbe Meir, this is how Rebbe Meir understands it, and that the main issue is that he cannot be in a position where he may be emotionally drawn to be mitameh to the funeral of his dead relative. Rebbe Yehuda Meir, he's not even allowed to go out from the Mikdash. It says in the Torah, why are we talking about his following the funeral procession? Now, when he is going to the Shura, to be Menachem, other people, so derech kol ha'am ovrim b'zeh achar zeh, the minhag was that everybody actually will be walking in front of the Avelim, who are standing in place, and that is the way that the Shura was done, and the Kohen Gadol also is there, but HaMimuneh M'matzo Beino Levein Ha'am. So the Mimuneh, he's the one that is appointed to take the place of the Kohen Gadol in case of the gap in Yom Kippurim. So he actually makes sure that the Kohen Gadol is between himself and the people that are on the left. So the Kohen Gadol goes in the middle. And the Mamunah of the Kohen Gadol, he is walking on the other side. So that's Bederech Kavod to him. Now, when he is the one who is the Avel, Ucheshu Mitnachem Me'acherim, And their people will say to him, as they pass by, Onu kaparatcha, we are meant to be the kapara for anything that was done on you. V'hu omer lehem titbarchu min hashamayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you a bracha. Kishim mevarin oto, kolam mesubim al haaretz, v'hu may save al hasapsal. Just like every avel, the first seuda that the avel eats after the levaya, so they bring him a meal. So in the case, normally the avel will be sitting on the ground and the other people will be bringing it in. But here, because of the covet of the Kohen Gadol, he is actually on a low bench, but everybody else who sits there, they sit down on the ground itself. And that way, the Kohen Gadol was in a higher status than the Av. Now, when it comes to a melech, however, you cannot judge a melech, and he does not judge others. Lo me'id ve'lo me'idim oto. He's not able to come to court to give testimony, and we do not present testimony against the melech. But that is a little bit strange to say we don't present testimony. How can we present testimony if we don't don him? All right, all of this we're going to be discussing. Lo choletz ve'lo choltzin le'ishto. He does not do chalitza, because doing chalitza is a pigam in the covet of the melech, because you spit at him, and therefore we're not chalitzin. He doesn't do chalitza, and they don't do chalitza to his wife, because a wife of a melech is not allowed to marry anybody else, as we're going to see. So Memela, there's no reason to be matir her. And others learn, I mean, I shouldn't say others, it's actually the way the Rambam learns. This is the way that most people learn here. The Rambam says that the issue is you can't do chalitza to her, because wherever you can't do yibum, you don't do chalitza. And since you're not allowed to marry, the idea is that it's usher over here for the yibum, so we don't do chalitza either. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, on the contrary. If a king wants to do chalitza, even though it's embarrassing for him as a king, but he wants to do the mitzvah, or he wants to do yibum, it's a big tzaddik, zochur latev, omrulo, no, not zochur latov, ein shomim lo. We do not allow a melech to be mezalzel himself in order to do the chalitza, the yibum. Furthermore, there's a general din. If the melech dies, Ein nosin almanato. As I mentioned before, it's usher to marry someone to whom the melech was married. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, well, one minute. What if it's another melech? Melech that takes his place can marry almanato shamelech, because after all, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David that he can marry Shaul Zalmonites. Shekein matzino b'David. Shenasa almanato shel Shaul. Shenemar ve'et nelecha. Et beit Adonecha, vet nishay Adonecha bechekecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David that I am going to give you the wives of your Adain, meaning of Shaul. And that's where we had the pasuk, Yima'at vosfalacha keina vechahena. That's where we got the idea that he's allowed to have 18 wives, and so was that pasuk. Okay, so now let's start from the beginning.
With a drink.
Kohen Gadol, Don. Isn't that obvious? The Kohen Gadol is Don? I mean, like, that's one of the things that the Kohanim are considered to be special for, that you appear bifnei HaKohen HaShayev B'yamimahem, and so on. So it's, of course he's Don. Why wouldn't he be able to be Don? No, the Chiddush is that we are able to be Danim Oto. You might have thought that maybe it's a begam in the covet of a Kohen Gadol, that he should come in front of a court, and that we sit there and we put him in the defendant's box. I mean, this is not very much of a covet, so maybe we wouldn't be Danim either. No, there's definitely no such avamina, because if the din would be that we cannot be Daninimle, so then he wouldn't be able to be Don. Any individual who is not himself subject to the din is not able to don others, because after all, when the Navi speaks about fixing the world, he says, "Hit kosher shuv akosher." First, you should fix up yourself, and then fix up others. V'yomer Resh Lakish, very nice idea, no? This is Tzfania's message. So first, kashet atzmecha ve'achakach kashet acharim. Before you go to fix the whole world, it's a good idea to start with yourself. Okay, so if it says over here that the Kohen Gadol can be done, it must be that we can don him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be allowed to be done. So it's obvious, therefore, that he can both be done and that he is nidon. So why does the Mishnah say it? Hello. Truth is, it only says it because of the Melech. I did the Koboy Lemisne. Melech lo dan velo danimoto. Tananami koyen gadol dan vedanim. So since we have to say the Chiddush, as we'll see why this is true, that a Melech is not done and we cannot be done him, therefore we already say the same in the opposite with the Kohen Gadol. Or you know what? It could be that it actually is a Chiddush. I'll tell you what. Because Yibay Zema, what it might mean when it says that a Kohen Gadol is able to be Nidah and Besdin, that's coming to tell you a Chiddush like we see in the Braita. Suppose a Kohen Gadol kills someone. Say if he killed B'mezid, so he's Ne'erak. And if he's killed B'shogeg, he's Geila. And he can be over either on an essay or on a los essay, which doesn't make any sense. What do you mean he can be over on an essay or los essay? What's that supposed to mean? And he is just like anybody else. Areo kedyot, l'chol devarav, and there's no difference. And that whole last piece doesn't make any sense. So let's start at the beginning. The Baisa said that a Kohen Gadol will kill somebody. If he doesn't bemeze, he's nerag. Well, obviously. But where in the world do we find a halacha that there's a different din on a Kohen Gadol who does the Navera like that? You're right, but we still need to know B'shogeg Goleh Yitztrichalai. There's a big Chiddush to tell me that if a Kohen Gadol kills B'shogeg, that he's sent to Golas. But why would it not be that way? I'll tell you why. Anami Pshita Yitztrich. Sal Kadate Chaminam. Hu Ilvichtiv Yoshav Ba Admota Kohen Gadol. Remember that the din of going into Golas is only until such time as the Kohen Gadol dies, and therefore, he may be, since he is the Kohen Gadol, he is never going to get out of the Ari Mikvah. Because Ema, I would say, look, kol de'itle takanta b'chazora ligle, but the letle takanta b'chazora lo ligle. If a person has a chance of getting out of the Ari Mikvah, then he is sent to the Ir Miklat until that opportunity to leave comes up. But we never find that the Torah was mechayev someone who can never get out of the Ir Miklat to have to go to the Ir Miklat. So it could be that since he is the Kohen Gadol, it's certainly he's not going to get out of the Ir Miklat. By dying, he's going to be dead. And therefore, it must be, we would think, that we can't send him there. Because if he doesn't have takana b'chazora, the less le takana b'chazora, lo legally. And why do we say that he would never be able to get out? Because actually, the Mishnah Makkah says so. Ha-horei kohen gadol, o kohen gadol she-haraget ha-nefesh, ene yotze misham li-olam. If somebody kills the kohen gadol, or if the kohen gadol kills someone, b'shogeg, he would never be able to get out of the Ir Miklat. So I would have thought that actually we can't don him to go to the mikvah. Therefore, kamash ma'on, the whole point is that here we're saying the same way that the Braita says that no, he actually can go to Golas. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah when it says danimoto. And that means we can even be don him be misas shegeg to be nidain to Golas. But wait a minute. Maybe that's true. You know what? I mean, you're saying that the whole point of the mission is to tell us that it's not true, but maybe it is true. And it's a good argument, isn't it? Where does the Torah say that there's a din of golas to someone who will never get out of golas? Omar kra, lanus shama koro tseach, afilu koin golo b'mashma. Why does it stress in the pasuk koro tseach, no matter whom? That's telling me that even the Kohen Gadol indeed goes, despite the fact that he'll never get out. Now, that next piece of the Braisa was weird. Overa la seva lotasa? What do you mean? The Kohen Gadol has to do Averis? What is that? Lo Sagi the Loavar. You mean we don't allow him to keep the mitzvahs? What does that mean? Okay, Kohen, no. It means that in the event that he's over al aser or lo taser, then hareyu keadiyot v'chol dvarav. In other words, these special dinim that we had at the end of the first perek, those are halachas that apply only to a chiyav misa. But if he's chayav as a normal person, he was over, he was maybe chayav malchus or whatever, he does an asay, and now he doesn't want to do a bit of asay, and the best thing has to force him to do the asay by beating him. In those issues, he's considered to be a hediot like anybody else. That's what the end of the Mishnah was saying. Well, isn't that pshita? I mean, we said it's only on major issues. Well, why is it so pshita? Did you forget how we learned the difference between the Kohen Gadol and everyone else? Look, remember what the Mishnah said before, right at the beginning. Ein danim lo et hashevet v'lo et navi hasheker v'lo et kohen hagadol el al pi bezet shel shivim v'yachad, right? That was the opening mission of the Masechet. And we learned that out how, so Rav Ada Bar Ava said, that the mocker was, well, we've just been discussing this, ko hadavar hagadol yaviu elech, which means, we said, dvirav divarav shel gadol, anything that affects a gadol. And we said, okay, so a kohen gadol is a gadol. So if it's anything, Dvarav Shel Gadol, so then I could have certainly thought that that means Kol Dvarav Shel Gadol, whether it's a small issue or a big issue. Who's to say that it's only if it's a major Chi of Misa that then we're going to bring a Bezin Shel Shimon V'Yechad? Therefore, it needs to tell us that if a Kohen Gadol was over Alota Aseh V'Yaseh, that would be okay to the Kol Dvarav. Hey, wait a minute. You know what? Maybe he shouldn't be like Hedyot L'chol Dvarav. I mean, we did, after all, learn out the din of Kohen Gadol from Dvarav Shel Gadol. So who's to say that it's only major things? Maybe it would be anything that would affect the Kohen Gadol. V'imal chinami, mi k'tiv divrei gadol, hadavar hagadol, which means that hadavar also has to be gadol. So it's the individual who is gadol, dvorav shel gadol, but a davar, by stressing the ha-davar as well, it's telling me that davar also has to be gadol. But things that aren't major issues, meaning they're not capital cases, which is a chiyamisa, there we don't need a bezin shel shivim ve'echad. So that's what it's referring to, that the Mishnah is teaching us that in regular cases, a kohen gadol is just like anyone else, and he is nidain. That could also be what it means. So that's the understanding of the Mishnah saying, Kohen Gadol Nidon, meaning with a normal bezdin. Me'idu me'idim oto. So it seems to be that it is not covet for the Kohen Gadol to have to go to court because somebody's calling him to court because he knows a piece of testimony that may be nogea some small issue. But wait a minute. I thought we said that there's a special halacha that we had back in Bava Metzia, that when it comes to dinim of momonos, of helping somebody to recover money, okay, so helping somebody to recover money is essentially hashavas aveda, right? Now, the Torah tells us that when it comes to hashavas aveda, you find something that belongs to someone else, and the Torah says, for some reason, v'hita lamta mehem. Remember, we have that funny pasuk. It says, on the one hand, lo tiret shorachicho et seyoni dachim v'yitalam tomehem, ha-shev t'shivem lachicha. So what is the v'yitalam tomehem? Well, we're saying, and you think you're going to get away with pretending you don't see. I mean, that's, why do we need that? So we understand that v'yitalam tomehem actually means there are times when you are supposed to actually pretend you don't see it. Meaning you don't have to respond. And what is that referring to? Obviously, it's telling you sometimes you're going to have to return, but sometimes you can actually avoid getting involved. What would that be? Okay, Tzad. Well, first of all, if we're talking about where it would be usur for you to do the return, let's say you're a kohen, and you see something in a Beit HaKvarot, so then you tell them to me. There, the Torah is not telling you to be over a lav in order to be Mekayim this mitzvah of returning money to somebody else. But how about if the individual who sees the Aveda is a zaken, and it's ein lefik feidei. It's a person who normally would not be seen doing this kind of thing. It's a Talmud Chacham. Actually, it's a machlokas, whether it's dafka Talmud Chacham, or even if it's Tama Zaken, who wouldn't do this kind of thing. So if it were his own thing that he saw in the street, there's no way that he would bend down and carry around a piece of chicken in the street back to his house. It's ridiculous. So if he sees somebody else's piece of chicken, then he also shouldn't pick it up. That's the v'salamta man. And in the event, let's say, that it's going to cost him more in the loss of work, so it's worth more than the thing that he's picking up. So then obviously it's not exactly a good idea for him to pick it up and then to try to save you money when you are going to be losing more money. That doesn't make sense. So all of these things are included in Lekach Ne'amar V'Hitalamta. So anyway, we see from here that where it's someone who is not the Fik Vedei, he's not mechuyev to do a mitzvah that is going to help another person to recover his money. So why would we say that the Kohen Gadol would have to be Me'id if it's not Lefik Vedei? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, it doesn't mean that he always has to be Me'id. You're 100% right. It means that he's Me'id for a Melech. So if he's Me'id for a Melech, then it's obviously it's not a diminishment of his honor if the king is the one who needs his aides. But wait a minute. I thought that there is no way that a king is going to be in court because it says lo dan velo danimoto, lo meid velo meidimoto. Didn't we say that he's not in court and you can't testify for him or he can't testify for you? So why would anybody walk into court in order to be done, in order to be made for a melech if he's not being meidai? Elamer Rabbi Zera, yes, of course, you're absolutely right. When it says that he's made for the melech, what we mean is he's made for the son of a melech. What? Son of a melech? Son of a melech? There's no special din of a son of a melech, for heaven's sakes. Son of a melech is like anybody else. What is this over here? The British aristocracy? Ben melech, had you to. He's just like anyone else. So why would there be a difference? No, the point is that in such a case where the melech is there, that the idea would be that if he's, let's say he had, this is the way the Yadrama understands it, if he is involved in a case with the king's son, the king is there, the king comes, he's concerned, and therefore he is being made in front of the melech. What do you mean in front of the melech? I thought, Ein meshiv moshivim melech b'sanhedrin? We never put the melech in Sanhedrin. So now Tosfos says, why do we bring a brisa that Ein moshivim melech b'sanhedrin? We just had the Mishnah say beferish that a melech ain't odan. So obviously he's not in Sanhedrin. What is that supposed to mean? So the point over here that Tosfos suggests is that when we say that a melech isn't done, it means he's not done on his own. That's because the enda ninoto, masha'inkin, with other people, he can be done because over there, there's no, it's kosher shuv kosher. Because it's not, the din is not basically built on him. He just happens to be in the bezdin. But that's the point. We're not being gerim of the din on him. Furthermore, I mean, you could also say that there are cases where the idea of Ein Moshiv Melech B'Sanhedrin, remember, there's other things that don't have to be done with Danoto, because we have things that are not Nogea Bichlal, the question of Din, it's Nogea things like being Ma'aber, the Shana, and so on. So we still need to do the halacha about those kind of things. Fine. So that's a completely different situation, and that we'll have to see more about later. But in any event, I now have a case. The case is that the ben of the Kohen Gadol is being nidain, and the melech is there, and since the melech is there, therefore it's not considered to be in any way a zilzal in his kaved, and it's not included in Vihita Lamta, Pa'amim, Shatam Bitalei. That would be what it's talking about, and that would make sense. Bifnei Melech. But what about the fact that you don't put a Melech there? But because of the Yikara, the Kohen Gadol, the king comes in order that the Kohen Gadol would be made, and then he leaves. He doesn't actually sit on the court. He is there in order to provide the backdrop that would give the covet for the Kohen Gadol that he could be made, again, as the Avraham learns, to be made for the Ben of the Melech. Or it's Mash from Rashi that he's maybe talking about any case, but the point is, if the king comes for that covet, so he comes, the king is sitting there, the Kohen Gadol says his Eidos, and then the king gets up and leaves. And then, Ma'inin and Le'anan Bendinei, we take a look in the case that he's being made for, which the Pashtus of the Sugya is referring to the Ben of the Melech. Anyway, getting back to that idea of Gufa, Ein Moshivim Melech B'Sanhedrin, Velo Melech V'Kohen Gadol B'Ibur Shana. Wow, now what we're talking about is that there's a special halacha. First of all, we don't put the Melech into the Sanhedrin at all. And then we have this other halacha that in cases which would be Nogea, things that are not issues of Danimoto, we will not include him in a din that has to do with the Ibur Hashanah. And here, we will not even allow a Kohen Gadol to have a say in the dinim of Ibur B'Shanah. Wow. Okay, why is that? Let's see. Melech B'Sanhedrin. Why do we not want to put a Melech in Sanhedrin? Dechtiv lo ta'aneh al-riv. And we understand lo ta'aneh al-riv, which is not to get involved in argument, is what it says. We darshan that to mean lo ta'aneh al-rav, that it is usur for you to argue on a person who is greater than you, if you are a dayan. So the pashtus of this is, as you will recall, that we always are matchil min hatzad. We're going to start from the youngest dayan, and therefore he can say his opinion before the Rav, the Av Beis Din, would say his opinion. And if there was a Melech that was sitting on the Sanhedrin, there we wouldn't allow some young Dayan to speak before the Melech. That would be impossible. So the Melech would have to be given a seat first, and he would state his opinion. But once he would state his opinion, then nobody else could argue with that opinion. And therefore, there's no way to have a Melech on the Sanhedrin. So there, it's not Nogea, even what it is that the din is. It's just simply a halacha of Loisan al-Rif. And then we said that neither a Melech or a Kohen Gadol can have to do with a diyun about Ibur Hashanah. Why is that? Well, it's because of Nigiyut. We don't allow a dayan to participate in a din in which there may be some type of influence on the way he's looking at the din because he is Nogea in the din. And a king and a Kohen Gadol have issues that have to do with the extension of the year. So a Melech, he's got a problem, because if he extends the year, he saves money. Why? Because his budget for the year is basically to give soldiers kach v'kach for the year. That's their yearly wage. So it's very beneficial to him to actually extend the year. So we can't have him on this diyun. Actually, it's interesting that others want exactly the opposite. That since he's already budgeted for the year, so now, and he pays by the month, if we're going to give another month in the year, he's going to bust the budget. So on the contrary, he doesn't want to extend the year. Okay, but that's a machlokas of Rishonim, how to learn it. Incredibly, I think we talked about this in a shiur lately, incredibly, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to participate because he's worried about his toesies. And since he has to walk, this is what Tosfos understands, since he has to walk on that cold floor in the Beis HaMikdash, if he adds an extra year, then when Yom Kippur comes out, it's going to be freezing on his toesies. So he doesn't want that, so he is basically prejudiced. And it's in his, it's unbelievable. It's in his interest that the floor in the Beis HaMikdash should be warmer. So because of that, we're choshesh that, that's the pashtus, because that we're choshesh that he would actually have a negias in the testimony. Now the Chassidish says that, I mean, how can we think such a thing that the Kohen Gadol is going to be worried about such an issue because his toesies would be cold? Rashi talks about he has to go to the mikveh, it's going to be freezing when he comes out of the mikveh. Toses doesn't like that shot because they used to actually warm the mikveh to make sure that he wouldn't get cold. So, okay, but, you know, coming out of the cold and out of a warm mikveh is still a very uncomfortable thing, so it's not really much with Taina and Rashi. In any event, the Chazon Ish Taina is that this halacha of negias is not because of a chashash that he would actually change his psak based on the negias. It's a din in dayanas. And that is that where a dayan has anything to do with the din, he's ipso facto puzzle whether or not we have the slightest concern that he would actually change anything because of it. Okay, I don't know why it is that we're worried about it. I mean, obviously the whole point of negias is that you don't realize the impact that it's having on you, and therefore you don't have the clarity of a judge. I don't really know what's bothering the Chazon Ish. Do you need to interrupt, Barnea?
I just want to say our earliest find of money, 2,700 years ago, the physical evidence of money is assumed to be for a king paying soldiers and the need to find a format to do that. That's how essential it is.
Okay, interesting issue. Because if that's what you're saying, so then it means that we're worried about having cold toesies because of an extended year that makes Tishrei now the time that would actually be Cheshvan, right? Because Tishrei comes out a month later if we're going to extend the year. But that implies that the weather is dependent on actually what the month would be if it would be the regular year. This month would be Cheshvan. But this year it's Tishrei. Now, you might have thought that, look, there are so many issues that are taken into consideration in an Ibur Shana. An Ibur Shana, remember, is not necessarily, as Tosis points out over here, not necessarily talking about a case where we need to push off the year because of the Tkufa. I mean, there were times, remember, we had before, we would push off the year because maybe the things hadn't actually matured properly around Pesach time, so we needed to wait until the Paris would be matured, and so on and so forth. So there is really not a very strict interrelationship, you would think, between the actual putting off of the time, the weather that you would have in a particular month. There's so much variability that the difference between having the extra month is not necessarily going to make it that the weather is going to be colder. But you see from here, says Rav Papa, that, well, we need to assume that the weather of the year goes according to the month that it would have been. And it would have been Cheshvan, and in Cheshvan it's cold, so he's worried about cold toes. But wait a minute, is that really true? I mean, wasn't there this maysa, interesting story? There were these three Ro'e Bakar, and they were standing around and blabbing, and the Rabbanan were listening into their conversation because it had to do with the way that people perceived the time of the year. And one of them says, Im Bakir V'Lakish Kachada Yainetz Deinu Adar. If the ground is so warm that when we plant the wheat, which is planted early in the month, and we plant the barley, that they will still sprout at the same time, so it must have been that there was already a lot of warmth at the ground, then this actually must be Adar already because it's so warm. But if not, so then it's not Adar, it must still be Shvat. So that means that the popular saying that people were talking about actually placed the weather in the context of the standard months. And then the other one said, Im tor bitzvar bitlag yamut. You know what people say? If an ox almost drops dead in the morning because it's so cold, and in the afternoon it's so hot that betira betuta ina yidvu nishlach bashre, that the poor ox is sleeping underneath the heavy shade of a fig tree, and it's sitting there rubbing the skin against the tree because it's so hot, it would like to throw off its skin. That's the kind of month that is Adar. So it must be Adar. Vimlav lezden Adar. So what do we see over here? That these people actually see the inyan of the peirot, the wheat and the barley, and the temperature in the ground, and the weather outside, to be completely interrelated. And another guy says, Ime kidum takif lachta yehe. You know what people say? If the wind out of the east is really powerful, yipach beloach nafik lekable, you can still blow hard against it, and you'll be able to warm your hands. Deinu adar. So that is a sign that it's adar, but if it's too cold to do that, then this is not adar, it must still be shvat. So on that basis, Ibru Rabbanan Laishata, so they realized that the year needs to be put off by 1 month. Now, that shows that what we're actually doing is that we are saying that the interrelationship with the month is actually goes according to the normal weather. So apparently, that means that the weather is meant to be the weather of the month that we make it. You said that the weather is going to be the month that would have been this Tishrei, that would have been Mar Cheshvan, and that if you're calling it Tishrei, it's still going to be Mar Cheshvan. And over here, it seems that they really took seriously that the interrelationship of the ground temperature and the weather and the agriculture are all interrelated, and that we're trying to keep it to what would have been in that month. Oh, come on, guys. Vitisbar, Rabbanan Aravata Samu. You really think that the Rabbanan are listening into these guys standing outside with their beery breath outside of the bar, you know, and they're all talking about, so what do you say, Joe? You know, and it's on that basis that they're going to make the decision. I mean, of course not. Look, it happens to be that this one time, I mean, that's what Tosis pointed out. Of course it can work out that way. These guys were lucky that what they were saying actually made sense in that particular year. But that's because the Rabbanan were being semich on their chushbane this particular time. Obviously, as Tosis points out, I mean, there are times when that's the whole purpose of putting off the year. So the Roy Boker is Tayu Miltayu. They were, you know, in luck that this year what they said actually made sense. So that then they could say, see, we were right. The Rabbanan decided that for all intents and purposes this was Shvat. But that wasn't part of the way that necessarily things work out. Anyway, moving on to the next piece. So we said, the Kohen Gadol, he is able to do chalitza, but not yibum. So chaletz v'chotzin, but not yibum. Which is mashma, that it doesn't matter what kind of yibum we're talking about. There could be two different yibums, right? You could have a yibum where his brother had been married under the chuppah. You could have yibum where his brother had just given kedushin to a woman and dropped it, which means he never slept with that woman. They never got to the chuppah. In which case, there's a big difference. Because remember, we have two separate mitzvahs that are negei the Kohen Gadol. One is, v'hu isha b'vitoleha yikach. So he has a mitzvah asay that he has to marry a virgin. So if he has to marry a virgin, he also has the iser of lo yikach almana. The almana lo yikach, so fine. So that would explain why he can't do yibum in the event that his brother's wife was already married, because she's not a virgin, and she's also, by definition, an almana, if she needs yibum, and her husband died. But the Mishnah says it doesn't matter. So, bishlam emen anisuin, I do understand that if it was a question of his having been married, then I understand why there's no way that he can be mekayim this mitzvah, because there's an iser aseh, and an iser lo tase, and you're not allowed to be over because of an ase, ein ase doche lo tase viase. But in a case where the brother was only a orus to this woman and had never taken her to the chuppah, and therefore she is still a virgin, so why can't the Kohen Gadol do Yibum? Because then it's only an asay against a lot asay, and of course, all over we say, asay doche lot asay. So elamina eros in amai, why don't we say yavo asay, v'yitche lot asay? Answers the Gemara, because the Rabbanan answered it. The reason they answered it is gzeira b'yarishona otu b'yashnia. The mitzvah of Yibum, you're mekayim the first time that you sleep with the brother's wife. After that, there's no longer any mitzvah taseh. So if this Kohen, who is now sleeping with an almana, which is an iser lav, and he's saying, look, the reason that I have to sleep with this almana is because it's a mitzvah that I should be miyabin. That's all very nice on a one-time basis. But once we allow him to be miyabin, he's going to get into something of a habit of being married. And therefore, they made it a gezeira that in order to avoid coming to be over on the iser lav, they asered even the first time that he would be mekayim the mitzvah. Tanya nami achi, im kodmu valo b'yarishayna akonu. Look, if he went ahead and he did the yibum, then of course he was kind of the yibum, because the ikar din midiraisa would be that esedek haloisasa. However, Rabbanan asered on him, asur lekayman, okay, Rabosai, that was relatively painless and an exciting introduction into the Inyanim of the Kohen Gadol, which we'll continue and see some really beautiful Inyanim tomorrow, Legabe and Melech, and the difference between Malchei Beis David and the other Malchei Yisrael. And meanwhile, that will bring us into the Chashmonaim once again, which is right where we're holding when we end up discussing the story of Yanai HaMelech. So stay tuned, Bezrat Hashem. See you in the morning. Meanwhile, Hinei El Yeshua Si, Eftach, Velo Efchad.